Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
All this week, it's the Anna and Raven Roadshow. Ryan Breckling is an expert appraiser. You can learn more about him at goodbottleauctions.com. Ryan, you've been looking over all these items that all our listeners submitted, and thank you everybody that sent emails. What are we going to talk about today?
This one's from Wendy. Wendy sent a picture of a spoon. It's a spoon, a woman outstretched holding a bowl, and that bowl that she's holding is like the bowl of a spoon.
Okay.
She says, I found this at a thrift store. A lady tried taking it from me, so then I had to buy it.
Wait
a minute. So you're at the thrift store. You're looking at her. You have it in your hands. Somebody else comes up and tries to grab it. That immediately tells you, let's take this to the register.
That happened to me once. I was at a Burberry outlet, and there was this woman who was parading around in this jacket. The jacket was clearly too big for her, Ryan.
Yeah.
And I said, I just kept following closely, because I knew she was going to take it off. And when she took it off, I knew that it would be mine. And she was hesitating it within her hand, and she was giving me side eye.
Yeah.
She put it down for 1 second. I swooped in like a hawk. Okay. I grabbed it, and it, to this day, all these years later, my favorite coat.
Okay, so you have the coat. This woman
has
got away
with
the spoon.
Yes.
Is the spoon worth anything?
So let me tell you about the concept of a spoon. In ancient Egypt, this spoon would have been used to mix oils or pigments. You would have mixed the color for an eyeshadow or a rouge. And they find these in tombs. They're real objects. And they've been sold, whether on the black market or otherwise. And it's possible that something like this can appear at a thrift store.
So, I mean, something like this could have actually come out of a tomb, a catacomb or something like that.
Yes.
From a dig site.
From Egypt?
Okay.
That's scary.
I mean, I have to see this picture. You have this picture? Please let me see this.
I do have this picture. Unfortunately, I only printed out the picture of the girl's bum.
Okay.
But
what? Okay. Yes,
of
it's
the spoon.
A spoon with a an Egyptian butt on it.
Yeah. Let me see the Egyptian butt. It's a nice butt.
Yeah. Slender.
Yeah.
You grab the woman by the waist and use the spoon, and you have the little bowl there. So
is this ivory or?
This is actually just cheap plastic resin.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah. Oh.
So this is a copy. In fact, it's a copy of a known spoon that's already in a museum.
Okay.
Somebody made a mold or a cast of it, and then probably sold these at the museum gift shop on the way out.
So
it's better than what happened with that bracelet recently, right? You don't want somebody stealing these things and then it coming across your desk.
So what happened with the tell me the story of the bracelet. I heard you guys talking about that off air.
Some curators or workers at a museum walked out with an ancient Egyptian gold bangle.
Yeah. And a pretty famous one that's on display and, well, was on display. And then they melted it down and sold it. $4,000. Never to be seen again.
Sold it for scrap gold.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's terrible.
All right. So how do you, now, interestingly enough, we talk about the spoon, but are there any types of things like that you should look for that are actually valuable? And how do you tell the difference between a cheap plastic one like this is versus a real one?
Well, you made fun of me for it before, but I carry a loupe in my pocket so I can magnify materials and look at what they're made of.
Yeah.
And in this case, I can see from the photos, there's bubbles in it. So I knew it was a cast of something,
yeah,
right? But when you find an old wood object or you find an old ivory object or even something silver or gold, you're looking for signs that this object has been used, that this object has been put onto a shelf or taken off. It shouldn't look new and shiny. There has to be some level of patina that indicates the age of an object. That's hard to do with wood, but much easier to do with glass or silver.
Okay.
All right, we're going to have more with Ryan Breckling coming up later.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
It's Anna and Raven Roadshow. All this week, Ryan Breckling is an expert appraiser, a good friend of ours. You can find him online at goodbottleauctions.com. Ryan, we've been looking at all these items that people have sent in over the last couple weeks, and thank you for that. A sewing machine that was worth $100. We've seen a Tiffany vase that was worth $2,000.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Earlier today, we saw an Egyptian spoon that was worth zero.
Yeah.
How about now?
So this one comes from Sarah, and Sarah sends in a photograph of a wooden wall sculpture, and it has gears and pulleys and strings and weights. And this is called a kinetic wall sculpture.
I've seen these before, yeah.
Yeah, they're cool. They're very popular.
You can touch it and it moves,
yeah.
Right? And it's made of different types of wood, and it's very aesthetic. It's very nicely made, smooth, well done. Sarah got this at a place called Auction Ninja, and they do like online estate sales.
Okay. So, I mean, it has the capacity that it could be something older, right? Like, it could be something valuable.
Yeah, it's actually signed.
In fact,
it has a name, Dave Roy, 1977.
Okay.
And that was shown in the listing. This is one of those sites where they're selling everything from a house, right off the walls of the house, and then you go there and pick it up. So you can score deals if the rest of the world isn't paying attention.
Right. Like somebody there that might be listening to this stuff, they might not know all that much. And here's the thing. Something could have tons of value. It's all about what somebody will pay you for it. Right?
So Sarah scored this kinetic wall sculpture for $200.
Okay.
I grabbed the artist's name and I ran it through some of my auction databases. And one of these sold in 2021. $1,200.
Wow.
Oh, wow. These
okay.
My girlfriend Lisa is obsessed with them, and she always sends me ones that she thinks are cool, and they're expensive.
Yeah. Comparative size or what?
Almost a one-to-one comparison. Very similar sculpture, same name, same artist. The one that sold at auction for $1,200 was working and had all the strings.
Yeah.
So that might have something to do
right.
with it.
Sure.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Imagine being Dave Roy's mom, right? Like, you're inside, you're like, I wish you'd get a real job already. He's just in the garage tinkering and banging on stuff. She's like, that's so dumb, whatever you're doing with that rope. Why don't you get a real job like your father had?
But it's hard because you look at them and you have to be into that kind of art. It's very specific and it's very,
it's subjective.
I'm not into it, but I can see the beauty of it because it's different. When you're looking to buy art, because I think people think they're all going to have that Goodwill moment where they walk out with a flower painting and then it's a Monet and it's worth $17 billion. And as we talked about throughout the years, Ryan, a lot of times these paintings that you find aren't worth anything.
Yeah, or very little, right?
Right.
They just carry decorative value.
Right.
So the first thing I would say to anybody who's looking to buy a piece of art is buy what you like. Don't buy something because you think it's valuable. Buy something that you enjoy looking at. Something that speaks to you, completes your space. In my case, I buy a lot of art from my friends and peers. I have a lot of artist friends. I buy their stuff and I put it in my house because I'd rather spend the money with them.
Yes.
I'd rather support my artist friends. And I have lots of things like that in my house that in some cases, there's no larger market for. There's no one who's going to buy that painting in an auction, but I love it. And it means something to me.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because, I mean, you're going to be looking at it every single day. You don't want to have those questions in your head. Was this a good investment? Come to resent the money you spent on it or whatever. If you like it, it's never going to bother you.
And the art market goes up and down, just like any other market, just like the stock market or gold or silver. A piece of art that you paid $1,000 for today, there might be less buyers for it in 20 years. Maybe the market evaporated or the buyers are dead or have aged out of that particular style.
Like
19th century American art is suffering right now. But mid-century modern, like Alexander Calder and artists like that, prices are going up, 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 up.
Yes or no? Should you buy art on a cruise ship?
No.
Okay.
Do not.
I don't think you're supposed to buy anything on a cruise ship. I think that's the advice I've been given.
All right. We're going to have more with Ryan coming up tomorrow.